Okay. Now it was 1 minute of watching the candle. What did you notice about that?
I found it easy, and my thoughts just went right to the flame. I didn't, my thoughts didn't wander off. It was to stay focused.
I had some associations with the flame I had to put aside and come back to the actual flame itself.
I found the movement of the flame, the top of the flame, just, really sort of fascinating and intriguing. And then I got a little sidetracked with going, okay, so I know somewhere this is the starts and it stops, and I wonder where the repeat is, and can I see where the repeat is? And so then I had to stop myself and just go, okay,
It
just
was
watch the
actually a
movement.
10-hour video, so you did not see the repeat.
It's 10. You don't
It's an
think it just like
entire.
it isn't a 10-second loop or something?
No, it's an entire candle burning down.
Well, it's a good thing. Well, okay, that I'm gonna need that link because I that will stop me from trying to figure anything out.
Okay, well,
I love that.
so that is single point focus concentration. And you can see how that might become very pleasant because you can just really get lost in it and everything else sort of goes away. Also, it can be, after a time, it can be difficult for some people because once the novelty sort of wears off, your brain starts coming in and having conversations like, where's the loop? So I'm not saying one it's good or bad. I'm just saying this is one type of concentration. Another type of concentration is momentary concentration, and that's what we do when we do the noting practice. That's when you just focus on something for a few seconds, but those few seconds are a very deep focused few seconds. And then you let your attention go and you focus on something else for a few seconds. And then you let your attention go. And you can focus on the same thing again, but it's this letting go and refocusing. So it's just a few seconds at a time of deep concentration. But it's lots of moments of deep concentration. And they found that actually lots of moments build up into the same effect as one period of continuous concentration. And this is what Mahasi Sayadaw figured out when he didn't actually create it. He got it from his teacher, but he's the one who sort of made this technique of noting a modern day thing. Because you can note, you can concentrate and get the same benefit without having to stay on one thing without wavering. Another benefit of single point concentration is that, I mean, of momentary concentration is that because you can move around, you don't have to stay on a single thing. Right? You can focus on more than one small thing. We're going to look at the candle again. It might feel less focused because it's on and off and on and off, but that on is deep focus. It's you're right there, and you can do it because it doesn't get stale, because every new focus is a new thing. So it can feel less focused, but it can also lead to the same absorption states in time. And I think it's more useful in daily life, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But we're going to go back to the candle, and this time, instead of just staring at the candle flame, look at for 3 or 4 seconds at a time. Look at different parts of the candle. Look at the candle flame, look at the wax, look at the color, look at the detail, look at how it moves, look at how it shimmers. Just explore that candle and learn everything you can about it by one thing at a time all over the candle. Does that make sense? Okay, so back to the candle. And 1 minute. Notice every detail that you can. Okay, that was 1 minute. How did that seem different to you?
Novelty. A therapist told me that the two things that attract people in relationship are familiarity and novelty. And it's one of the reasons why somebody will often seek a third party, a person on the side in a relationship, because I guess we crave both of those things. We're drawn to people because they're steady, they're with us a long time, okay, they give us exactly what we anticipate, and also we're attracted to people if they're unpredictable and surprising.
This relates to concentration.
It's just human tendencies. It's what attracts us. It makes the concentration easier if it's something that attracts us.
Okay.
That's what I think, why I think it mirrors that.
Okay.
We're either excited or we're really relaxed.
Okay. What about you two? What was your
answer? I want the candle back. I like the candle.
I'll send you a link.
I already found it. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Okay. Did you notice anything different?
I found that my brain engaged a little more. I mean, I didn't just sit there kind of blank. I was searching up and down, and I don't know if I was more engaged or less engaged, but I found the colors, and I found the blue, and I found the halo, and I searched it out a lot more. So my brain was involved more.
Right. And so this is why I think this kind of concentration is more useful in daily life, because the single pointed concentration you can tend to space out on, and it's pleasant. But the what you're saying, it engages your brain. You're noticing details, you're learning, you're exploring. And if you have to deal with a situation in daily life and you want to concentrate on it, it's that more active, broader focus, ability to see more at once, or more elements, that's going to be helpful, right? Mm-hmm. So this was took a little bit longer than I had planned, but demonstrating that concentration is not always what we think it is when we talk about the ability to concentrate, especially when we're under pressure. We're talking first about not that you don't ever get distracted, but that more and more you're able to come back from your distractions quicker, and get back into your task quicker. That's the concentration training. And also this kind of momentary concentration is really useful. We don't have to be able to, if, you know, some terrible thing just happened to us. We don't have to be able to sit down and figure out exactly what to do without thinking about anything else, right? That's not what we're saying. We're saying that as much as our biology is scattering us, we're able to come back and work on something, and then we get scattered again, and then we can come back and do a little bit more, and then we get scattered, and then we come back. And that's a skill that's going to help us to deal with tough situations and make better decisions and so on. So that was a long demonstration for a couple of short points, but does that make sense?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, so
a lot of sense, and I keep framing it in new ways, but let's get on.
Okay.
I can say more.
So the good thing about how mindfulness can help with this skill is, as I said, any technique that you do is going to strengthen your concentration in general. And if you do it knowing that this is what you're working on, you can also specifically work on concentration. For example, if you were to choose a small focus like your breath, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in and breathing out, that's not quite single point focus because you're noticing details and you'd be noting, not just soaking into that one thing. But the smallness of it is going to be a workout for your concentration. But what we're going to do today is just see, hear, feel. And the reason for that is that we're going to use our momentary concentration skills, our noting skills, to notice everything in our experience. And this is probably going to be helpful when we're in a tough situation, to be able to notice what's really going on the outside, what's really going on the inside. And at the same time, training that concentration. So that's what we're going to do. Last words, that doesn't sound right. Last comments or questions?
Sean just died.
Please don't.
How interesting, how novel.
Right, and there's relevance in that, in that the single-pointed concentration you become very familiar with, and so your brain can sort of disengage and you can soak into it, which is why you can tend to space out. Whereas the momentary concentration, every new moment is novel. And if it isn't, like you're following your breath and you start thinking, okay, I know what my breath is like, then you're not paying attention anymore because every breath is different. Everywhere you look is different because it's a different moment and you're coming at it with different experiential background. So that's my reminder to myself. If I start getting bored when I'm noting, I'm probably not paying as much attention as I think I am. But let's go ahead.
You just need to focus with a different part of your brain. Because I think that's what they are. I think they're different parts of the brain.
Let's save that discussion for another time.
Yeah.
Does this fall under trainability, resilience, skill number two, sort of the self-efficacy? Is that where concentration and mindfulness
That's where I would put it, yeah. Because it's going to help with your ability to take action.
Okay. I'm trying to put all the parts together.
Right.
Thank you.
Uh-oh, I better really pay attention to what I'm saying then, huh?
I have notes.
Okay, so we are 15 minutes behind schedule. And since it's only us four, and usually we all stay through the second session, right? Can you all stay for, if I do 20 minutes instead of 10 minutes for the first session. Okay, so I'll start off lighting and then I'll leave you to it.
Can we have the candle?
You want the candle?
Can I have the candle?
Okay.
Thank you.
You know what's going to happen now if I do this? You're going to try and prove me wrong. And you're going to spend the whole time trying to find the link. And I might be wrong. But use that as a distraction to not, you can choose to not pay attention. Or it can be a detail. I'm just going to shut up and ring the bell.